you struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude. It's very easy for me to pick the one thing that's wrong rather than concentrate on the 10 things that were right." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about the search for security, but since it's a Friday, I very often read letters, as you know. I'm likely to read letters on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday also, but Fridays you never quite know what you're going to get. And this is a long letter, but it is an unusual situation, a very painful situation, but the lady who writes has found the place of security even in the midst of this kind of pain. And that's the kind of testimony that I'm always looking for. And here's the letter. I listen to Gateway to Joy on, and she tells me what station, since this lady has not given me permission to mention her name or where she is. I have to be careful in reading this letter. She said, "I was listening mainly for guidance and consolation. I'm in the midst of a very painful, strange trial. I was separated from my husband because of his incestuous relationship with our son. And I believe this has been going on since his birth," she says. "I thought I had enough evidence to prove the charges and moved to get my son out of the situation. Your program on that particular day was on hymns and their influence in your Christian life. As I listened, I recalled the hymn singing at Urbana 73. That's a big missionary convention held every third year, sponsored by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I recalled the hymn singing at Urbana 73, especially "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," sung by 15,000 people. Later that afternoon, I felt a great distress in my spirit, and through prayer and some particular hymns, I found peace and strength. I didn't know then why I felt the distress. The next day, a friend called to let me know that my husband had been to the town where I was living trying to get our son through an attorney in the local police department. I knew then that was my distress and that God had moved my friend to call and tell me about it. A week later, another time of distress came upon me. This was worse. I fled to my bedroom, shutting the door behind me, and falling down on my knees beside the bed, I cried out to the Lord in prayer. It took a long time of prayer before peace returned. Again, I didn't know why. That evening, I took my son out into my parents' yard to play. As I was sitting there watching him, the words of Romans 8:28 came into my mind. Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good to them that love God. I prayed and placed us in the Lord's hands. The next evening, just at dusk, my father and I were in the yard with my son when a car drove up the hill. I remember looking at it very closely, but did not recognize it as having my husband in it. He jumped out of the car, ran behind a garage that blocked from our view his activity and presence, ran past me, scooping up our son, who was 5 feet away, and ran back to the waiting car, and took our son back to the state where he was living. He did this although he had already scheduled a temporary child custody hearing in that state. In the days that followed, I cried and read hymns and searched the scriptures. I turned again to the hymns I had turned to the day of your radio program. I believe that the kidnapping was the distress in my soul. Romans 8:28 is true once again. As subsequent events turned out, this was to work for good. The temporary child custody hearing 3 weeks later resulted in joint 30-day custody periods. In March of 92, after I had taken my son to the exchange site for my husband's custody period, I returned to help my sister clean up a house she was going to move to. I found a local Christian radio station, and 2 days after the custody exchange, which is such a hard time emotionally, I cleaned and painted and cried and rejoiced while listening to your program. I think your programs those 2 weeks were on singleness. And here's an example. This is my parenthesis here. An example of how it doesn't seem to matter to which group I may be aiming a particular message. God knows how to apply that message to the most diverse situations. She says, your programs were on singleness, but the Holy Spirit used something in your words or the letters you read those days to minister to me. Isn't that just like God, to use our words to minister to others even when they are not directly for a person? Truly, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. I was consoled and strengthened in my spirit and heart. Thank you. I thank my Jesus for your ministry on the radio. There's more. Indeed, I haven't told you all in what I have told you up to these lines. It's not all trials, but what the Lord has done in, through, and in spite of my trials and circumstances. God has many plans and purposes in all this, not because it is my trial, but because it is His glory. I have a book of remembrance where I've written down my tears and the scripture God has given and the things He has done and the way He has engineered circumstances. Most of the things that I've tried to do to save our son from this have been frustrated. Perhaps one reason for this has been that my husband seems to have hardened his heart each time. During the past year and a half, I've had a new thirst for the Word of God. My prayer life has deepened. I now spend time listening. At first, I was pouring out my heart to him, and he didn't chide or say, would you just listen a minute to me? He put his arms of love around me and listened. He heard my cries. He listened to my heart. I am crying as I type these words, but underneath are the everlasting arms. How many times I have heard you say those words at the beginning of your broadcast, and every time they sink into my heart, and I think of God's arms about me. Can I share some things that God has used to strengthen me? You've probably done these and know others who have done them, but Jesus led me to do these, and I just want to share. In July, when things were very bad, and the incest was going on, but I didn't know what to do, and there were other problems, I sat down with my Bible, and looking through the Psalms, I found promises and prayers that seemed to speak to my heart and my circumstances. I wrote these down and placed them on a stand in the windowsill over the sink in the kitchen where I cooked and washed dishes. I think once they even fell into a pan of dishwater, but I fished them out and dried them off. I still have them. One verse was Proverbs 20:31. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. I knew that about the name of the Lord and that it is His character and His attributes. As I looked at the name of God and what He was doing in my life, my strong tower, I was led to put that together with prayer and received consolation and peace and strength at a very vulnerable time of the day for me. Because of my memories of putting my son to bed, because of the things that occurred many times in the middle of the night, what I did was, using the alphabet, I prayed through the character and work of God just before going to sleep. Many times I fell asleep in the middle of this prayer. I praise Him for who He is and thank Him for what He has done. For example, I might pray, I praise you, Father, that you are almighty. And that begins with A. Nothing is too hard for you. Thank you for overturning my husband's filing for divorce against me. I praise you that you are my burden bearer. That begins with B. I praise you that you are my comforter. Some nights this prayer time has been long and full of tears or full of joy, while other nights the prayer time is short, but the result is a peaceful heart to take to sleep, knowing God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, knowing He is with my little boy and with me. Elizabeth, could we say that as Christians, God reveals His name through our troubles, trials, and sufferings, that He shows us who He is through these trials in our lives and the lives of other Christians? Yes, I certainly think we could. She says, I think of Johnny Erickson Tada and her life in Christ. I read a quote of William Barclay in a Philip Yancey book just last night. He said, endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. God has taken a hard thing in Johnny's life and turned it into His glory, revealing His character to the world through her. Not all revelations of the character of God are wonderful. Some are mixed blessings. I say that because I experienced His severe mercy in January of 1990 in the form of a miscarriage. At the time, it seemed only severe, but now it seems merciful. I was reminded of this last week, I think, during one of your programs on heaven, during which you read a letter from a widow. My baby, who died only 10 weeks after conception, is living in heaven with Jesus. Many nights I ask Jesus to kiss my baby goodnight before I go to sleep. The last praise I will share is how the Holy Spirit has used hymns and scripture in my life. One night I woke up, maybe 3 or 4 a.m., with "To God be the glory" on my heart. Another morning I woke up with "His eye is on the sparrow" singing in my heart. Dr. David Jeremiah says Christian music is aspirin for our aches and sorrows. Thank you for that lovely testimony. I won't give your name, but you'll know who you are, and you know that we appreciate it.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.